If you would turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5:22, please. And we have that up on the overhead projector, so if we could get that up there as well, Galatians 5:22, and we'll move along through there. And we're talking about faithfulness, introduced the subject of faithfulness last week, and I just want to do a quick review for you, and then move on to an Old Testament example of faithfulness by the name of Zadok. A great man of God, a great faithful man of God, of whom very little is known, but a very significant man of God. The first thing that I want to do is, by the way, I have some booklets here on the work of the Holy Spirit, and in the middle of the booklet, there's a section which talks about the work of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of which faithfulness is one, and I'll give them out to you. There we go. All right, good. And anybody else? Here, you were yawning, so you can have one. Good. Thanks. Good on you. Anybody else? All right. And if you want a link to a site, which you have one from last week, right? All right. There you go. Down the back here. Okay, good. There we go. You can have one. If you get my email address, I can give you access to a whole lot of books like this. All right. A whole lot of books like this. These books are used around the world. We had a missionary here in our first service, and he's familiar with this stuff. The stuff that I'm handing out to you has been used to reach about 1 million people around the world and disciple them. What? You've already got one. I'm only giving you one. He's got one. Oh, you gave it away. All right. All right. So there you go. Good. Yep. Now remember, here, I'll give you one too because I know you don't have one. So you're getting one. All right. So, and if you just give me a link, ask for the link, you'll get access to about 60-odd booklets that are like this, and they're very good booklets. If you get and use these booklets, you don't need to go to Bible school, which will save you a heck of a lot of money. All right, so here, Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So, from the start, we understand that that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Let's understand that. We're not talking about saving faith, pistis. We're talking about pistos. Just one little letter makes all the difference. We're talking about faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit. Now, faithfulness is something that when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that everybody here this morning has done that, I honestly don't know why there aren't huge queues lining up to receive the gift of the free gift of eternal life. I mean, what we're talking about is the fact that we have the opportunity to live with God for the rest of our eternal lives, which is an awful long time, right? To not accept Christ means exactly that. He's given us the ability to either accept or reject or not even accept him at all. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to push us into spending eternity with him. We have to choose to spend eternity with him. For those that don't, they will not spend eternity with him. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen to anybody. Right? And yeah, I use the word choice, by the way. we'll talk a little bit more about that later. There's a lot of argument about it. Who chooses? You know? But anyway, we're people who have the ability to secure our eternal future with God or not have an eternal future with God. And I don't want anybody this morning to go into an eternal future without God. I can't imagine anything more terrible. I really can't. And so I want everybody that's within the sound of my voice this morning to say, yes, I want to spend eternity with God because he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us as a result of the blood that he shed on that cross. Right? Our sins are transformed. Though they be red, scarlet, if you like, they become as white as snow. We become transformed into brand new people from the inside out. And what happens at that moment in time is that God comes to live in us. How could we reject God wanting to live in us? I ask you, how on earth could anybody say no to being plucked out of darkness and placed into light and have Jesus Christ live in our hearts? I don't understand how anybody could ever reject that. I just don't understand it at all. And particularly having experienced that myself. And so, as a result of that, what happens is that because God, the very essence of God himself, because his nature and character is within us, oh man, But they're not just words. You know, the nature and character of God. We drove this morning through beautiful sunshine. Who can reach out and touch the sun? I understand that when this eclipse occurs, that we're going to be able to see flames shooting out. Right? But we can't reach out and touch that. A God who transcends all that has been made. I mean, the wonder of the eclipse that we're going to see. Right? Don't look at it with bare eyes, please. but the wonder of what we're going to see, the wonder of what we saw as we were driving here this morning, God transcends. He's beyond all that He has created. He's beyond all of it. And yet He comes and He lives in each of our lives. My words cannot do justice to what I just said. God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, lives in our hearts. He's the King of the kingdom that our hearts have become. He lives within. And one of the things that's in there is the fruit of the Spirit. And His desire for the fruit of the Spirit is like that tree that He talked about. That seed that comes in as a small seed. Remember Jesus talked about that small mustard seed which grows into a great and mighty tree? That's what God wants for us. He wants that tree to grow. He wants that seed to become great and mighty as a tree, as it were, within us. And He wants that to happen with this thing of faithfulness. And understand here that Paul uses the word faithful, not in the sense of that saving grace, but in the sense of God wants to develop something within us. Let me just read this to you from Fung. Paul is using the word here in the sense of a person on whose faithful service we can rely, on whose loyalty we can depend, whose word we can unreservedly accept, in whom there is the unswerving and inflexible fidelity of Jesus Christ. This is not something that we can attain to in and of ourselves, can we? I mean, we read this stuff and we think, that's not me. You know, I say amen to that. That's not me. It's the power of Christ within you and me that makes that possible. The inflexible fidelity of Jesus Christ and utter dependability on God. Jesus repeatedly, if you go to the next slide, please. Jesus repeatedly charges His disciples to be faithful people. And He's not talking about saving faith. He's assuming that they've already accepted Him, right? He's saying, I want you to be faithful towards others. I want you to be unswerving in your fidelity towards each other. Now, you take a hold of this and you apply it into this nation in which we stand today. Right, and you apply this concept of faithfulness in this nation today. We are repeatedly charged to be faithful in the sense of a person whose faithful service we can rely, on whose loyalty we can depend, whose word we can unreservedly accept, in whom there is the unswerving and inflexible fidelity of Jesus Christ, and an utter dependability on God. And I say that we have to demonstrate this to the world in which we live. And it demonstrates the power and glory of the Spirit of God. It speaks of God when we demonstrate His fruit. His fruit is His nature and character. When we demonstrate His love and joy and peace and so on, we are demonstrating God. And this is what the world needs to see. Now, I've stressed already that it's important to distinguish that we're not talking about saving faith right now. It is the ultimate example, but we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit which has been placed in us. And it grows by practice. Oh, some Christians don't like to hear that. They just like to have things, boop, boop, you know, the cloud spoke, you know. But no, this is something that God wants to grow and develop in us. The onus is on us here. The little seed is to grow into a big tree. God wants ambassadors that correctly and faithfully represent Him by reproducing the core of His nature and character. Wow. Represented by the fruit of the Spirit. The core essence of God is in you. Can you agree with me there? And the incredible privilege it is that God, by His core essence, His faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, His nature and character, is in you. You're the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And He wants that to be more and more manifest as you go on in your development as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And this is why Paul says in Colossians 4:9, if you could go on to the next slide, please. Paul, in Colossians 4:9, he's talking about Onesimus. Now, there's a book in the Bible called Philemon, in the New Testament, called Philemon. Philemon is a slave owner. Onesimus was his slave. Right? And by the way, I want to say this, that Philemon, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful anti-slavery documents that's ever been written because it's in the New Testament of God. Right? Philemon is given the opportunity of just taking this guy back, and because he's a runaway slave who was a troublemaker, he could kill him. But Paul appeals to this Philemon, who is now a man of God. Because, see, what's happened to the slave is that Onesimus has become a man of God as well. Paul writes and says, he has been useful to me, and now he can be useful to you. And there's a higher call. There's a higher, and this is something that you can use to anybody who says that the Bible justifies slavery, because it doesn't. All right? In the New Testament, here we have a passage of Scripture in Philemon, where the higher call is to Philemon to release the slave. Because Paul states quite clearly in the Scriptures, in many different places, there's no longer slave nor free. No longer slave nor free. But anyway, that's just a by the way. Okay? The higher call is to set Onesimus free. But what I want to say to this morning with application to faithfulness, the faithfulness that we are to demonstrate as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, what I want to say is that Onesimus was a troublemaker, he was angry, he was a runaway slave, and now he's been sent back to his master. And he's going, and he's been called faithful. He's been faithful to us, and he will be faithful to you. You see, Onesimus has undergone a character change. And where before he was a troublemaker, now he's a faithful and dear brother. And it goes on to say, who is one of you? He could have said he's part of the body, but he says one of you. He is one of you. He's one of you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, he who has called you is faithful. You can see, this is the operation of God on the life of Onesimus. It's the operation of God on the life of Walter. Known Walter for some 20-odd years, right? That's a long time to know somebody. And I can tell you right here and now that for that whole time, Walter has been Walter, son of God. That's a pretty simple statement to make, isn't it? Brother, I do miss you. It's wonderful to be able to say that. It's wonderful to be able to say that. We have an example of faithfulness sitting amongst us. We have many examples of this fruit of faithfulness sitting amongst us today. He has called you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. He's called you, he's faithful, he will do it. He will do what? He will keep you blameless. As we are faithful, he keeps us blameless for that day that we sang about. When he returns, we'll be able to stand before God blameless. Because not only has the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansed us and set us free and made us whiter than snow, not only has that happened, but we have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, continued on and established ourselves as people of God. We've grown from glory to glory. You know, it's not just a beautiful day like today that exhibits the glory of God. It's also the demonstration of the nature and character of God by way of faithfulness that speaks to the glory of God. The glory of God is manifest in you, Walter, because you're demonstrating faithfulness, not only today, but it must have been pretty weird. I saw some gumboots, some wellies, some Wellingtons. Was it very wet down there? It seemed to me to be a very wet place, wet and muddy. Yeah, yeah. And to me, that would take a lot of faithfulness to be able to. So we're confident. We're confident. The God who has called us to this, we need to understand from the outset, the God who has called us to this is more committed to it being fulfilled in our lives, I think, than we are. That's a statement I made last week. I'll say it again. That God is more committed. He is more faithful to his goal, the goal of us becoming more and more like his son Jesus, than we are. And so we can be confident in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. We can be confident that this is what God is going to complete in our lives. So here today, I'm talking about the fruit of faithfulness. I'm talking about us growing and allowing the fruit of faithfulness to develop. And I'm also saying that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that will happen as we allow God to work in our lives. We will see that fruit of faithfulness develop. We can be confident of this. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, I can be confident that God is going to do this in my life. I'm going to be a faithful person. Going to be a faithful person. May not be a modern thing to be a faithful person. Maybe that these days what is extolled is the main chance, seizing the day and all of that kind of stuff. But we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful in what we do. All right, next slide, please. The next slide is about how to be faithful. Number one, we need to decide right here and now that we're going to be faithful people. We're going to decide that. We have to decide that. As people of God, as people who have experienced the saving faith of Jesus Christ, as people who have God living inside of us, we are making a decision. Okay, God, you live inside of me. This thing of faithfulness has been planted inside of me. Your nature and your character is inside of me. And part of that is being faithful. And so, as a result of that, I want to grow in faithfulness. I want to see the seed grow into a tree. I make the decision to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Can we do that now? Can we say that now? I will be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Gotcha. Gotcha. I hope you didn't say that lightly. I hope you said that seriously. Decide to be a faithful disciple and now ask for the fruit of faithfulness. I, God, ask for the fruit of faithfulness. For the fruit of faithfulness. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work of faithfulness in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, expect the Holy Spirit to guide you. Right? You go home, something's going to happen to you on the way home. You're going to have a choice to make. You got a choice to make. The other day, oh, Celeste, I'm glad you weren't there when this happened. All right? So there I am. I'm walking through in the dusk. Darkness is dropping, right? And I'm walking through the Early Learning Center. All right? On Thursday night it was. The men were here. And so we're walking through the Early Learning Center. And there's meant to be a clear pathway through to the kitchen. Right? Now I'm going blind. I don't see too well anymore. Bang! Look at what happened. On top of an old motorcycle injury. All right? There's no flesh there. All right? And so on bare bone, where there's just skin over the top of bare bone, I trip over this great humongous toy and rip my leg open. All right? So trip on the way home. You're going to have your own little trip. All right? And you're going to have pain. And you have an option to curse. Oh, of course, you don't do that? No, I didn't curse. I thought of the word, though. Does anybody here do that? Did you think of the word? All right? Yeah, the rest of you are just downright liars. All right? All right? I'm not saying you said the word. All right? It's like I said to the guys, you know, at that camp, pretty woman, pretty woman. And we look. Get your eyes back, right? So I'm not saying you're going to curse, but, you know, we trip, we have pain, and certain things flood into our minds, all right? It's the old man rising up, but we want to be faithful to the nature and character of God. So you don't curse. You blame Celeste! And then... I guess it's commensurate to the degree of pain, which by now is just kind of dropping off a little bit, I guess. Celeste fades away into ethereal nothingness, right? And I am left with repentance. Huh? This is a process we all go through, and God uses it to school us. in faithfulness. He uses it to school us in faithfulness. He uses it to grow that seed into a great and mighty tree. So you're going to have challenges, but see them. I can even look at Celeste right now and see her as a wonderful opportunity. All right. So the thing is that you're able to rejoice. You make the right decision, and you know you've grown just that little bit in faithfulness. All right. And so rejoice in that. Don't go all holier than thou. Oh, that makes me sick. Holier than thou, Christians. You know, and you know, I didn't curse. Oh, no. I spoke in tongues. Oh, the glory of God came down. And peace filled my soul. Yeah, you know it doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't happen like that, right? It just does not happen. We have stuff happen to us that causes pain and anguish and heartache. And we have to lay ourselves before God as a deliberate act of our will. And faithfulness grows as a result. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Some of you are probably saying, oh, he's a horrible man for pointing these things out. But I know that this is right. So rejoice in your faithfulness. Take the opportunity to just say, thank you, God, and rejoice in your faithfulness. Just rejoice in your faithfulness. God is growing you. He's schooling you. And understand, lastly, that faithfulness is shed abroad. And that as it's shed abroad, it's a testimony to the nature and character of God. It's a testimony to the nature and character of God, and He is more committed, He is more faithful to His goal of us becoming more and more like His Son, Jesus. Many sons, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Bringing many sons and daughters to glory. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. You know, when His glory is revealed. Rejoice. What did they do when they were in prison? They rejoiced. They rejoiced. God rewards faithfulness. I'm going to finish on this point. We've run out of time. But God rewards faithfulness. You know, I've got no doubt. Look, you've got a whole lot of minches here. You know, you got the oldies. They were in the first service. And then you've got the mediums in the second service. And you've got the littlies with them now. You know, and what joy it must bring to you, Tom, that to know to be surrounded by your family. And what are they here for? They're here to hear Walter talk about something that he's done. For the goodness of God, for the glory of God, for the glory of God. What a wonderful thing. God rewards faithfulness. And that's part of the reward, Tom. Being able to look around right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do you get the picture? Thank you, Jesus. Do you know, this Old Testament guy, Zadok, all right? And if you would go on to the, we got those scriptures down there. If you, 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you're taking notes for your small group or anything, just write those notes down. 2 Samuel chapter 7 talks about Zadok. And I'm going to finish with this. But Zadok is a guy who at that point had been with a young David. He had seen Nathan the prophet come to David. He had heard the word of the Lord brought to David. He had believed the word of the Lord. And he understood that David was God's man. David was the king that was meant to be. He understood this. And he had fought for David. He enters into a time of peace with David. And it says it states there that Zadok and Abiathar were the high priests. They were the priests of God. And I want you just to notice the name Abiathar. All right, just notice that. Because what happens is that we now go through a period of time where David is consolidating the kingdom of Israel. It's so much like us as Christians. That's what the Old Testament is there for, to encourage us in our life as Christians. All right, because we do. We go up and down a bit, but we're on an ongoing incline, hopefully, as we say yes to Jesus. And so what we've got here is we've got these two guys who go through the first rebellion. There's a rebellion against David, and they are with him. In fact, Zadok gets told to take the temple, to take the ark back into the city and to be there, and he begins to gather intelligence. So you only ask faithful people to do that for you, right? You only ask faithful people, people that you can trust. And so Zadok goes back into the city, and then there's a second rebellion, and then comes a third rebellion right at the end of David's life, We're right through to 1 Kings chapter 1 and 2 now. And so at the end of David's life, there's a last rebellion. And it's another son of David does not want to accept the fact that Solomon is the one who is chosen to be king. In the plan of God, Solomon is to be the king. Well, this other guy decides he's going to be the king. And Abiathar agrees with him. Abiathar actually anoints this usurper to be the king. Now, in these rebellions, I want you to understand they were pretty bad rebellions. You know, David's getting old. He's not the guy that he was. And so it's his younger, very handsome, Absalom was a very handsome son, very strong, and so it was the whole way through. And they're vote catchers, if you like, right? They're people who catch the vote. They're people that you can put up there in the billboard, and everybody, wow, he's a fine-looking man. You know, I'm gonna follow him. And so Zadok doesn't. Zadok stays with what he knows to be right, with what he has heard the prophet of God say of David. And so you've got Solomon. Abiathar anoints Solomon anoints the other son as the king. And so David calls for Zadok, calls for Solomon, and very quickly he has Solomon anointed as king instead. So Solomon becomes the king. Now I want you to note what happens. What happens is that Solomon calls Abiathar to him. And he says to Abiathar, this guy who's the high priest, he says, I'm not going to kill you for your disloyalty or your faithlessness out of respect for the way in which you served my father. But I want you to go back to your farm. I want you to go back to central PA where you'll never be heard of again. All right, something like that, okay? And that's what happens to Abiathar. Now, I want you to understand that Abiathar fulfilled, in doing that, he fulfilled a prophecy that had been made to Eli at the time of Samuel the prophet, that the line of Eli's sons, would one day lose their right to minister in the temple. Abiathar was the last of Eli's line. Was the last. See, faithfulness has great reward. Faithlessness has terrible reward. Faith, we need to understand there's a terrible, terrible reward for faithlessness. And so what happens is that this man Zadok, he's the one. He's still there. And so we come through to the, let me see, let's go, do we have one more slide? Or is that it? Do we have one more slide? Yeah, put the next slide up then, please. You see, Ezekiel 40, 48, and I encourage you guys to read this in your own time. That's why I put it up there. It's the last great prophecy of the prophet Ezekiel, and it has to do with a new temple that's being built that has not yet been built. The people who believe that there's a millennium or a thousand-year reign coming after this age in which we live now, they say that this is the temple that's going to be in that period of time. Folks argue about that. Well, the priest that's described in Ezekiel 43:19, the priest, those who minister on behalf of Zadok, the priest who ministers on behalf of the line of Zadok is one of the children of Zadok. There's an incredible reward for faithfulness. And it's not just for you. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for your children's children. And it's for those who are afar off. And Zadok is a great example of that. Faithfulness has its reward. Can you bow your heads, please? I want to pray with you. And Father, I pray. I thank you in Jesus' name for the deposit that has been placed in each believer here today. The deposit of faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God, has been placed in each person that has given their hearts and their lives to you. You have placed yourself into each of our hearts, the one who transcends all of creation, the one who spoke and everything came into being. Come to live in our hearts because we've said yes. And I pray this morning, right now, say yes to Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. Trust Him. Just say, I trust you, Lord God. I trust you this morning. I trust you with my life. I trust you, Lord God, that you will take up residence in my life. I trust you to fulfill the words of Scripture in my life. I trust you, Jesus, when you said, you go so the Holy Spirit can come and live within each one of us. Holy Spirit, grow faithfulness. It's already there, folks. It's already there. Grow faithfulness in my life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Grow faithfulness in our lives, in Jesus' name. Grow faithfulness, Lord God, in this community as a church. Grow faithfulness, Lord God, so that as we stand in this day and age, that people will see faithfulness to God. Lord, that everything else will fall into its right and proper place. Those things that have no place would go as we stand for faithfulness, as we stand for righteousness, as we stand for goodness and patience, love and joy and peace, because, Lord, we are filled with the Spirit of God. Let it rain, Lord God. Help us to express it in this world in which we live. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, some people